winds of the storm.
Thy beautiful hair, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends from the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, but finally to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, thou maker, defender, redeemer, and friend.
Oh, praise the Lord. He is faithful to the end, I tell you. And we will worship the King forevermore, beloved. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. And of course, we will sing again afterward. And we come back tonight, once again, to the book of Galatians. And we're still in Galatians, just started last week. We're in Galatians chapter 1. And I really enjoy preparing these studies, because I get blessed before you get blessed. Praise the Lord for that. Last week, we covered the first five verses of chapter 1. In Galatians, and Paul strategically and wisely established his apostolic authority before preaching to the Galatian believers what he had to tell them concerning the purity of the gospel. And those Judaizers who were coming in and perverting the gospel, adding works to the gospel, adding the Mosaic code to the gospel, and Paul said, "You're out of bounds. You would see the works or it's grace. You can't mix the two for salvation." So here we pick it up in Galatians chapter 1 tonight. We'll cover verses 6 through 9. And I've entitled tonight's message, No Other Gospel. No Other Gospel. I'm glad we're taping tonight, because I really wish we had a larger group because of the importance of tonight's message. Folks, we've got people in the world today, under the umbrella of Christendom, which are preaching false gospels. They're preaching a gospel that cannot save, because they're adding works to the grace of God, saying it's necessary for you to get baptized in our water, and it's necessary for you to be a member of our church, it's necessary for you to be a tither, and all these things, which are good to do, but have nothing to do with salvation. Okay? So look with me here. And Paul has already established that he is called by God Almighty to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And we read in verse number 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Father in heaven, the solemnity of these words, it is solemn, O God. The warning contained in these verses, it's frightening to think, O God, of the damnable heresies that are going around, the doctrines of devils, as you call them, trying to put them off as another gospel. And Lord, I just thank you tonight that the Word of God is truth and it cannot be corrupted. Lord, I thank you that we stand upon this holy book, and because it is the eternal word of the living God and is eternal truth, we are not deceived. I am so thankful, Lord, that salvation is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, plus or minus nothing. I am so thankful that Jesus finished everything that had to be done for us to make heaven our home. And all we need to do is trust in that finished work. Lord, we praise you tonight for how easy you've made it for mankind to be saved and redeemed from sin and to have a place in heaven forevermore, if they only will. And oh God, I thank you that we're not religious in this church. We're saved. There's a world of difference. We ask you to bless your word tonight. And oh God, we pray for those who may be listening online as well, that they may be blessed and touched by the words of God tonight, that they may share these truths with those they come in contact with, that the purity of the gospel would be defended. Oh God, till you come, Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, how we need to hear tonight the solemn words of warning issued by the Holy Spirit through Paul's pen in these four verses. Not once, but twice, the apostle pronounces a curse upon all those who would preach a false gospel. But how many so-called Christians today will call us narrow-minded and too judgmental and too old-fashioned? Amen, amen, amen. Guilty as charged. Brethren, Paul is not declaring his personal opinion, but he's proclaiming the very words of the living God to the world. And he's saying that because the eternal destiny of immortal souls depends upon the correct understanding of the pure gospel of grace, therefore, church, there's not a single week that goes by that I don't get contacted by somebody who tells me I'm out of bounds, I'm preaching. Just this week, a fellow called me 2 days ago, and he said, "Pastor, you are preaching Lordship salvation." And I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "What in the world gave you that idea?" He said, "You're preaching sanctification, and you're preaching you should be baptized, and you should tithe." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "After you're saved, sure." And he said, no, you're preaching Lordship salvation." I could not convince this. He's a pastor. And I told him over and over, "I do not believe in Lordship salvation, brother. It's by grace through faith, not of works. That's what I believe." And if you listen to one of my messages, you'll see that clearly. Why, folks? Because they want to pervert the pure gospel of God. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't get these guys that say, "You need to be baptized in Church of Christ water. Oh, you need to worship on the Sabbath. If you don't go to worship Jesus on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, you can't be saved. They've got all these works they want to add to salvation." And it just tells me that they're not saved. It tells me that they've believed a corrupted gospel. I want to give you a few things tonight, folks, concerning no other gospel. First, observe Paul's amazement in verse 6. Paul says, "I marvel, I am amazed that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ." First of all, notice how shocked Paul was when he found out that some of the Galatians were actually believing the false gospel that the Judaizers were preaching to them. Go to Acts 15. Hold your place in Galatians. Acts chapter 15. I want to show you where this took place and what they were believing, hook, line, and sinker. These guys came from Jerusalem. That part is true. They were Judaizers. That part is true. They said James and the other apostles sent them. That part is not true. They're liars. They're deceivers. Look in Acts chapter 15. Look with me here at verse 1. And he says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren." Notice the people they're talking to are brethren. They're saved already. They're under grace. They're born again. Taught the brethren, said, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Wow. Sounds like a lot of guys today. "Except you join our church and sign up with this bunch and put your money in our plate and get baptized in our water." Hey, these people are already saved. What do you mean they got to be circumcised? God never told a Gentile to be circumcised. That's Mosaic code, which was dead after the cross, disannulled. So we have the same bunch today that we had 2,000 years ago, preaching a false gospel. Listen, people try to add water baptism to the gospel. People try to add church membership to the gospel. Tithing, Sabbath keeping, soul winning, door knocking, all these things, which are good things to do, but not for salvation. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is going to tell us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 what the gospel of grace is. Let's see if he mentions baptism. Let's see if he mentions circumcision. Let's see if he mentions tithing. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the gospel that Paul preached? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel. There's only one gospel for this dispensation. It's the gospel of grace, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Oh, I love that. By which also ye are what?
Saved.
You're saved by the gospel, not by getting baptized. Look at it. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. That's a false professor. They didn't believe unto salvation. 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins. 1. According to the scriptures. And that he was buried. 2. And that he rose again the third day. 3. According to the scriptures. Death, burial, and resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. That is what saves you. How does it save you? By believing it. All you got to do is believe it. Because God said it. Amen? Now that's the pure gospel. It's what Jesus did. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. Nothing you can or could ever do can save you. Only Jesus can save you. That's the pure gospel. Now, notice the wording back in Galatians chapter 1, in verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Now, this word removed, in the Greek, it means to be turned away from. They didn't lose their salvation. They were being turned away from the pure gospel, like a lot of people today. Do you know, let me make a statement. I'm going to shock you. Do you know there's born-again Christians in the kingdom halls, some of them? Born-again Christians. You know there's born-again Christians in the Catholic monstrosity, the Catholic Church? You know there's born-again Christians in most of the false religions and cults? Why? They got removed, that is, turned away from the purity of the gospel. They got saved, and somebody came along and got a hold of them and corrupted their mind. Once you're saved, you're saved. Why? What do the JWs do? Let me love you into our kingdom hall. And they do. Those people put us to shame as far as door knocking and getting people to come to their kingdom hall goes. They really do. Because they're depending upon their works for salvation. And it can't work. And they get these people who are already saved, and they fall for it because they show them a little bit of love. That tells me that we need to show two things, love and truth. See, you could have love like the JWs without truth, and it's damnable. God hates it. It will damn the soul. But looky here. He says you're removed from him. You're turned away from him that called you unto this grace. Verse 6 says they were called into what? Oh, this is good.
The grace.
The grace of Christ. You have been called into grace, beloved. You have not been called into a systematic law of bondage. You have been called into perfect liberty. The perfect law of liberty, the Spirit of God. You have been called unto the grace, and look at, it's the grace of Christ. You know what he says in chapter 5, verse 1? Stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't be again entangled with any yoke of bondage. Man wants to bring you into bondage. That's what they want to do. Because they're corrupt, and they want to corrupt you. Now, listen. When one embraces the gospel of grace, they enter in to God's grace. They enter into a standing position of grace. It's like an umbrella hanging over your head, keeping the rain off. The grace of God keeps sin off. The grace of God keeps you safe and sheltered under His grace. Go to Romans chapter 5. Hold your place again. Romans chapter 5. Oh, this is so good. I'm so glad that I'm under grace. I'm so glad I understand that. In Romans chapter 5. You know, they get frustrated with you because you know too much. You know too much about God's grace. Oh, this guy knows too much. I can't corrupt him, you know. Look at chapter 5. Therefore, being justified, that's past tense, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we what?
Stand
and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, this grace that you've been called into will cause you to stand. You will stand spiritually. When the enemy's arrows come knocking at your door and the devil's trying to beat it down and the world and the flesh and the devil's giving you a hard time, you will stand because of the grace of God. Because of the grace of God that is in you. The Spirit of Christ. Listen, folks, you stand. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hold your place again in Galatians. In 1 Peter chapter 5, let's see it one more time before we move on to our second point. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I love this. I love this verse. Look at me at verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. Ye stand. Beloved, listen to me. You don't need any man. You don't need any human being. You need the grace of Jesus Christ. It will keep you standing. It will keep you victorious. It'll keep your heart and mind in perfect peace by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, I tell you, folks, in our Bible-believing Baptist churches today, I don't know why it is. So many preachers are trying to bring God's people under a bondage of legalism and do's and don'ts. And whatever happened to the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Whatever happened to the grace of God? Listen to me. The Holy Spirit can lead you a whole lot better than I ever could. Or they ever could. And they don't seem to get that. They think they need to control every year of your life. And they don't. They need to let God control your life. Now, secondly tonight, not only do we see here in Galatians chapter number 1, not only do we see Paul's amazement, but secondly, notice that there is another gospel. Look at verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, which is not another. Oh, we have a contradiction in the Bible. Ha! What are we going to do? No, it's not. It's not a contradiction. The Holy Spirit says what he meant to say. Amen? Listen very carefully. Here in verse 6, there's two Greek words for the word another. One in verse 6 and the other occurs in verse 7. They're different. They're spelt different, as Doc says. Now, here in verse 6, the Greek word for another is heteron. Heteron. It means something contrary to sound doctrine. Follow me. Heteron means something contrary to sound doctrine. Now let's read it again. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Unto something that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now watch in verse 7. Which is not another. What? Which is not another. The Greek word here in verse 7 is allos. Allos. It means duplicate. That's what it means. A duplicate. Like a clone. Listen, it means of the same nature. Did you hear that? Allos means a duplicate of the same nature. Paul says in verse 6, you've been removed unto another gospel. Verse 7, he says, which is not another. He's saying that perverted gospel that you're swallowing, it's not another gospel, it's a perverted gospel. It's not of the same nature as the pure gospel. It's not a duplicate, you can't duplicate the gospel. There's only one. that saves. Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just flip back one page and you'll be there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Don't miss this. Verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. Paul's being facetious. And indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you, Corinthians, with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you, engaged you, to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another what?
Gospel,
which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul says, you might just believe it. He says, I'm fearing for you. I'm doubting of your standing in grace. You might swallow a false gospel that can't. Listen to me. Verse 4 says it carries with it a false spirit. That's a demon. And it also carries with it a false Jesus. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. He's an imposter. He cannot save, but they use his name. Have you trusted Jesus? Have you been baptized in our water? Have you been circumcised? Are you tithing? You know, that's another Jesus, folks. I'm telling you right now. Three imposters are found in verse 4. And Paul says, this is another gospel. It's a perverted one. It's a corrupt one. And it will damn your soul if you're not already saved and you embrace it. And that, sadly, is what's happening today. Thirdly tonight, back to Galatians chapter 1. We've seen his amazement. We've seen another gospel. Thirdly, notice those who bring this other gospel. Verse 7. Verse 7 of Galatians 1. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, I stop here and I say to myself, Lord, why would any man in his right mind do that? And the Lord answered me. He said, because he's not in his right mind. That makes sense, eh? See, the Bible, you know, it's pretty. If you just read and believe, man, you'll be okay. He said, they're not saved. Why would a saved man wouldn't do it? A lost man would do that because he doesn't know any better. He's deceived by a demon spirit. So he's teaching his demonic doctrine. You see it? There be some, in verse 7, that trouble you who are saved and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's the gospel of grace. They have a corrupt gospel. Folks, listen to me. 2,000 years ago, Satan was already attempting to corrupt and pervert the pure gospel of grace. This was written 2,000 years ago. Imagine, he's been at it for 2,000 years. It happened immediately after the resurrection, and it's been happening ever since. And it will continue to happen, I venture to say, till the Lord comes back and straightens this mess out. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 again. Flip back one page, you'll be there. Look at this. Do you know the devil has ministers? Oh yeah, they're so eloquent. Oh, their speech is so lovely and syrupy sweet. They hypnotize people with their voice. I'm not kidding around, folks. Look at this. I'm going to prove it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at me at verse 12. But what I do, Paul writing, that I will do. Why, Paul? That I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, those false teachers, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul says there's a whole bunch of guys out there and gals, yeah, you know a bunch of them, we won't name them, who are out there preaching another gospel by another spirit, and they're deceitful workers. And verse 13 says they're ministers of Satan. Look at that, verse 15. His ministers. Man, you wonder why some of these churches are called mega churches? Why they're so popular? Because you can go there and you can feel good, 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 and go live like the devil the rest of the week. Come back the next week and feel good, good, good again. Or you can go to Benny Hinn Crusade and get pushed over by the dummy. Folks, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but I'm trying to tell you, these guys, they're evil. What they're doing is wickedness, and they're doing it by another spirit, not the Spirit of God. So we see there are many of those who bring another gospel. Fourthly, back in Galatians chapter 1, observe the divine curse imposed upon all such. Look at it, verse 8. But though we are, notice how Paul includes himself. He says nobody's excluded from this curse, those who would attempt to do this. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Anathema. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Whoa! This is serious stuff tonight. Beloved, I believe that this warning, listen to me, I believe this is the strongest, sternest warning in all the Bible against false teachers and false prophets. He says they're going to be accursed forever. Ooh, I would not want to be near them when the lightning falls, folks. This is scary stuff. I tell people all the time, you sure you want to be a Christian? It's not a game. You better think. Jesus said, you better count the cost. You better count the cost before you enter my regime. Amen? Because it's serious business. And he's saying you can damn your soul forever if you're not careful. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at this. Oh, this is serious stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Don't miss this. Closing words of the blessed apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost. Verse 22, verse 21. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man or woman love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. I wonder what that means. Anybody?
Accursed is coming.
You got it. Anathema, accursed. Maranatha, when the Lord comes. He says that person, male or female, whoever they may be, you don't love Jesus Christ, you will be eternally separated and cursed from him. That is the most, to me, the most horrifying thought about the afterlife. Is the multitudes of those people who will experience this anathema maranatha when the Lord comes. Wow! Go with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Look at this. And then we'll move on. Philippians 3. Look at verse 17. Brethren, saved people. Whenever you see that brethren, they're part of the body of Christ. Be followers together of me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Why, Paul? For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Wait a minute. These people are preaching a gospel. And Paul says they are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Why would they preach the cross if they are enemies? Because they're deceived. They're preaching another gospel. Look at it. Whose end is destruction, not heaven. Whose God is their belly. They're carnal. They're of the flesh. And whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. For our conversation, beloved, is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Two groups of people, those who are deceivers and those who are not deceived but have embraced the truth. 2 Peter, one more time before we move on to our final point. 2 Peter, look with me in chapter 2. Another extremely stern warning considering this bunch that corrupts the gospel. And they do it on purpose. Look at it. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at me at verse 1. But there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, beloved, who privily, that's privately, secretly, shall bring in into the church damnable heresies. What's a time out, before we continue reading. What is a damnable heresy? Think.
Anti-gospel, not telling the truth of the gospel.
Right? It's a heretical teaching that damns the soul. It's a damnable heresy. Amen? Taught by heretics. Look at it. Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall fall. Look at this verse 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's lascivious. Lascivious means something. Oh boy. Something emergency out there. Lord, we just pray that whoever that is in that emergency, you take care of them in Jesus' name. And their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, see, they want something from you. Shall they with feigned words, that's fake, hypocritical words, make merchandise of you. Now, what's that mean, make merchandise of you? What do you generally do with merchandise? You sell it. And you get, what do you get for it? For merchandise? You get money, right? They want to get money from you. You see it? And shall make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Whoa! This is serious business. Fifthly tonight, I want to close with this. Back to Galatians chapter 1.
Before we go back and ask a question in Philippians 3.
Oh yes, Philippians 3.
3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Could that be backslidden, saved people too?
Well, I wouldn't categorize a carnal Christian who's backslidden as an enemy of the cross, because they have embraced Jesus Christ for their salvation. Now, he's not happy with them. They're separated from communion and fellowship with the Lord because of their sin. But technically, they're not enemies of the cross. Okay? Any genuine Christian who's born again and they're backslidden, they'll tell you, I love Jesus. I am trusting in the shed blood of his cross for my salvation. Even though I got this problem, I'm not able to overcome. Because they haven't understood the grace of God and what it's able to do for them. Okay? They haven't grown enough spiritually to overcome a particular sin. But no, I wouldn't call them the enemies of the cross. These people, and if you look at the next verse, it shows you they're not, none of them are saved. Their end is destruction. They're going to be damned. Okay, back to our text. In closing, everything we said tonight has to do with the gospel of grace. Amen? Which it is in effect for this dispensation of grace, beloved, the church age. But according to Scripture, there are actually four gospels spoken of, each having to do, listen, each having to do with a different dispensation. Okay? They're not the same. I'm going to show you that. Let's examine them in closing. Now, first, what does the word gospel mean? Remember, I'm not talking about the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is what we are under. It's the only gospel for us today, the gospel of grace. If we were in the tribulation period, I wouldn't be preaching this gospel of grace. I'd be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? If we were in the millennium, I would be not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I would be preaching kingdom law, because that's kingdom law time. So let me just clarify. The word gospel means what? GN. Good news. Good news. Gospel means good news. Now, what good news you're talking about must be specified. First, there is the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom is the good news that God purposes to one day set up a glorious kingdom on earth in fulfillment of the Davidic covenant in Israel, over the which the Son of David, the King of Kings, will reign and rule the world for 1,000 years. That's the gospel of the kingdom. When was it preached? Two preachings of this gospel are mentioned in Scripture. One past and one future. The first preaching of this gospel came by John the Baptist. It was then continued by the Lord Jesus and his apostles until the cross. Go with me to Matthew 3. I want to first show you the first gospel called the Gospel of the Kingdom. In Matthew chapter 3, I have my notes here if you need them, anybody, afterward. Look in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus wanted to set up a kingdom over Israel at this time. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Now, John is preaching the gospel of the kingdom, trying to make ready a people, that's Israel, the elect nation, for the coming kingdom. If they would receive the king would set up the kingdom. That's clear enough. Now, look in chapter 4. In chapter 4, look at verse 17. Somebody else preached this gospel. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom is at hand." The kingdom is at hand. Jesus said, "I want to set up a kingdom. You don't have to die. You don't have to be born again. You just have to receive me as your king of the kingdom." Okay? It's the gospel of the kingdom. Chapter 5, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom." The kingdom of heaven that he wanted to set up on the earth. Look in verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Say, you don't have to get persecuted to get heaven. You're getting heaven by grace. These people are getting it by being persecuted for it. Verse 19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments," what? "And teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do these commandments and teach them, the same shall be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is preaching works in verse 8:19. You see that? Works for what? To get into the kingdom. He didn't tell these people to be born again like he did to Nicodemus in John's gospel, the gospel of the Gentiles. He told them to repent and do works meet for repentance, for righteousness, to enter the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom. The future preaching of this gospel will be during the tribulation period. Very soon, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached again during the 7 years that Daniel prophesied of, by both the 144,000 Jewish worldwide witnesses, they'll go all over the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the two Jewish witnesses in Jerusalem will preach the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews in Jerusalem. We don't need to go there, we just studied that in the book of Revelation. Secondly, there is the gospel of grace. This is the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, and all whosoever believe are justified forever and receive eternal life in this present time period. This gospel is preached from the day of Pentecost, which was the birth of the church, and it will be preached up until the rapture of the church, just prior to the 7-year tribulation period. It's the gospel of grace that we are under. Thirdly, there is another gospel which Paul called my gospel. Go to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter number 2, Paul calls it my gospel no less than 3 times in the scripture. Why? Why would he do that? Look with me in Romans chapter number 2. And look with me at verse 16. Romans 2. And verse 16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." Paul said, according to my gospel, not Peter's gospel, not James' gospel. Now let me ask you a question. Who was Paul the apostle to? Gentiles. Who was the apostle to the Jews? Same letter, P. Peter, that's right. Peter went to the Jews, Paul went to the Gentiles. Did they preach a different gospel? No. No, they better not, because they're both under the age of grace, right? But Paul calls this one his gospel. Why? Go with me to chapter 16 of Romans. See if we can figure this out. In Romans 16, look at verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you, according to what? My gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Paul says the preaching of my gospel has the power to establish you in the Christian faith. It has the power to mature you spiritually and cause you to stand. Why didn't he say Peter's gospel? Why didn't he say James' gospel? Go with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. We're going to nail it all down in a moment. In 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. Look at verse number 8. Paul writes, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. My gospel. Now, this gospel is called Paul's gospel specifically because of the fact that Jesus Christ personally revealed to Paul the gospel of the grace of God. Now, he revealed it to Paul unlike any of the 12 apostles before Judas fell, in its fullest development, including the mystery of the church, the outcalling of a unique body of believers from all nations of the earth who would be born again by spiritual regeneration, and is the theme of Ephesians and Colossians, Paul's gospel. This gospel, called Paul's gospel, was not, listen to me, it was not comprehended fully by the other apostles, as the Pauline epistles were not yet written. Is anybody listening? The Pauline epistles weren't written when Jesus ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1. You see? So he ascended to heaven, but what did he do? He came back to appear to one man. His name was Paul. And Paul spent 3.5 years in the Arabian desert with Jesus Christ, sitting at his feet, receiving his gospel. He calls it my gospel because he received it personally from Jesus Christ. Paul had to go to the other apostles at Jerusalem, and Paul had to straighten them out doctrinally. Why? Only because they didn't have the light that Paul had from Jesus. He wanted them all to have it so we all could have it. Okay? This is the only reason, folks, why Paul is saying, wording it, my gospel. It's the gospel of grace in its full development. Okay? And once he shared it with the other apostles, it's everybody's gospel. Glory to God. Now, the time of its preaching was after Paul's 3.5 years with Jesus Christ in the Arabian desert. Back to Galatians chapter 1. Look at it here. Paul says, verse 15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. He didn't do that for Peter or James or John. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Not yet. It wouldn't be till 3.5 years down the road that he went to Jerusalem. But I went into Arabia. Why would he do that? Into the desert? There's nobody out there, Paul. Nobody to preach to. Watch. And returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. See that? Paul had something he had to get alone with Jesus Christ to receive. And don't you know he had his parchments and he was busily writing in large letters? Why? Because it was so important, folks. This is glorious stuff here. He called it my gospel. Fourthly, there is, oh, by the way, it is to be preached The timing of its preaching was after Paul's 3.5 years with Jesus in the Arabian desert, and it will continue to be preached until the rapture of the church. Fourthly, the fourth gospel mentioned is the everlasting gospel. Go to Revelation chapter 14. This one also is not the same as the other three. In Revelation chapter number 14, now there's something I need to say before we finish this fourth gospel. I am not saying that there are different gospels whereby you can be saved. There isn't. There's only one. The gospel of grace. You know me. You know that. Okay? These gospels I'm giving you are for different dispensations. Look at it. In Revelation 14, look at verse 6. What is the context? Tribulation period, right? Verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having what? The everlasting gospel. He didn't say Paul's gospel. He didn't say the gospel of the kingdom. He didn't say the gospel of grace. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. These people, let me give you a hint, they're not in the age of grace. The gospel of grace won't help them here. Look what he says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. So here we know that we're in the second half of the tribulation period, called the Great Tribulation, when this angel preaches the everlasting gospel. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb forever. It's an everlasting gospel. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. 12. Here is the patience of who?
The saints.
The saints. What saints? John. What saints? Ellie?
Tribulations.
Got it. She's got it. Listen, folks. These are saints who are already saved from the in the tribulation context sense, from the preaching of the 144,000 or the two witnesses. They've refused the mark of the beast and they worship Jesus Christ like you and I do. So they're saved in a tribulation context sense, right? Watch.
Are they going to be Jews?
Nope. Gentiles too. Watch what he says. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Notice the two stipulations. To be a saint in the tribulation period, you need works, commandments, and faith, saving faith. You need both. Right now, it's easy. You just got to believe. But look at it. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, from now till the end of the trib. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. What? Their works do follow them? Yup. Why? They're going into the millennium. And what they did for the Lord during the tribulation period and how they treated Israel is going to follow them. Now, this gospel, the everlasting gospel, is neither the gospel of grace, nor the gospel of Paul, nor the gospel of the kingdom. It is the good news to Israel that the time of judgment has come and the messianic kingdom for Israel is about to be set up on the earth. Now, it will only be preached toward the end of the Great Tribulation, and it will only be preached by an angel from heaven. No man will preach this gospel. In closing, I ask you, what are you trusting your eternal future on? Are you trusting in the gospel of grace? Go to Galatians chapter 1, because it's real important that you trust in the gospel of grace. By grace through faith, we are saved. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God that we don't deserve. Verse 6, and I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight. And Lord, how we thank you for the true gospel. And Lord, how we thank you that even though the word gospel occurs at different times in the Bible, you've made it absolutely crystal clear that the gospel of grace, for the age of grace, the dispensation of the church, is by grace through faith plus nothing. We thank you that you have so arranged the gospel that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you that Paul called it the simplicity that is in Christ. It's not rocket science. It's not confusing. It's not calculus advanced. It's the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can say it best in two words: Jesus saves. We thank you for it tonight and for clarifying it. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals tonight for a closing hymn. Just before we pray, and let's open up to hymn number 32. Hymn number 32. I'm so glad we're in the Lord's army. We've been enlisted since the day we said yes to Jesus Christ. Onward, Christian soldiers. And we're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth. Let's stand. And we're going forth with the gospel.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
The third,
like a mighty army, moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading with the saints of trod. Oh, we are not divided. Oh, what more if we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, friendly people, join our happy throng, blend with us your voices in the triumph song.
Brother Cal dismisses in prayer tonight.
Lord, we thank you this evening. We thank you, Lord, that no matter when, no matter where or what the circumstances, you are there to minister to us, to listen to us, to help us, Lord, with our needs of each day, and to guide us as you know you'd have us to go, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that as we come to you this evening again, that we will be able to make ourselves fully understood to you, to bring forth the petitions we have, Lord. We know, Lord, that you hear them, you understand them, but sometimes we're not sure if we clearly define what we're after. We know, Lord, that no matter what it is, that the prayers will be answered in your time and in your way, Lord, and we need to be satisfied with that. Just ask you, Lord, to guide us, walk with and help us, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen.